Hello, Nerdistians. That's not a good word. To the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 247. A lot of fun stuff happening over at the Nerdist YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. Please go and click subscribe. We're launching a bunch of new shows soon. Coming soon to the channel, we've got Neil deGrasse Tyson, Star Talk, Neil Patrick Harris's Dreaming and Puppets show, and I'm also particularly excited about Cops Skyrim. Is an animated show that's coming up soon. So go over there, click subscribe, youtube.com/Nerdist, and support the things that that we enjoy making for you for free. It's free! It is free to subscribe and free to watch. Ah, the economy of free. Say, you seem like a plucky young human who wants to start some type of website or blog. You need Squarespace. Now there is the new Squarespace. For you super nerds, from a technical perspective, it is an entirely new product with a completely different code base. So you're going to have the HTML5, you're going to have CSS3, you're going to have JavaScript foundations, which is going to give you speed and flexibility for future development. And from a user perspective, the new Squarespace gives you the best mobile experience. It's got new templates with mobile-ready responsive designs. Your site automatically restructures to size to any device. So it looks professionally designed no matter how it's viewed. And it's easier, it's faster than ever. There's better social media integration. You can actually automatically import, sync, and publish to and from social media with just a few clicks, dynamically refreshing your site and content, and obviously raising awareness to your social circles about this awesome website or blog that you have. So for example, you can pull photos from your Instagram site and instantly sync pages and galleries to Facebook. You can auto-publish new blog entries on Twitter. And the social media buttons connect you with all the services that you're using, like Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Foursquare, Dropbox, LinkedIn, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, more. It is an incredibly robust platform that makes it easy for you. Or if you like getting under the hood and being a super code-based monkey, then you are free to do that as well. So go to squarespace.com/Nerdist. There's a free trial there. Sign up for your free account. No credit card needed. You try it out. Start building your website. Then if you decide to purchase, use the offer code NERDIST8, which is different than codes that we've used in the past. It changes every so often. NERDIST8, you're going to get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, which includes monthly and annual plans. That is squarespace.com. Use the offer code NERDIST8. And now this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, we cover the spectrum on this one. I think this is a particularly fun, hostful episode. Gets a little serious in some places, but then it gets back to fun, because we can't not make vagina jokes about things. Nerdist Podcast, episode number 247, Hostful Goodness.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You're saying you can make your friend Lance gag by making the gag noise?
Well, like Lance and like my friend Willie Roberts happens to, but also like Lance in in the Jackass movies, he's, you know, Lance Bangs is a guy, but like all they're trying to ever do is make him throw up. And so if you just start going like
he can't handle,
like,
it.
He'll go, come on, Walt.
Steve Agee's that way. If you make that noise, yep. Or if you're like,
Steve's got a bad gag reflex,
or if you just, I have video of him of just describing like someone was dipping and they had a spit cup, and I was just describing the spit cup to him, and he was like, "No, stop!"
Yeah.
So it'd be really funny is to do some. Oh man, it'd be really fun to do a Rube Goldberg gag machine where I start describing something that makes Steve gag, and then his gagging makes your friend Lance gag,
and then on to Willie,
until it turns into a giant barfo-rama.
Yeah, that was a crazy live show when Will just went into that part of the Stand By Me, including another barfo-rama.
Oh yeah,
I was like, I quote that scene too, but I wasn't in that scene.
Keep talking.
Oh, well, I did not appear in the movie Stand By Me, but I watch it a lot.
Nerdist revelation.
Dylan
was not in Stand By Me.
Contrary to
I'm so
no
hungry.
One's belief,
I'm so hungry, and we have so little time that I'm...
You have so little time.
What got in...
I'm waiting until we're done.
What got us into this conversation was about how we were telling Nick, who's sitting over there...
Hey, guys.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
We're telling Nick that
you know, we can't, you were not allowed to eat on the podcast because it made people angry to the extent that we might as well have been Holocaust deniers. Like, yeah. They were so like, how you piece of shit! You know, it was like, what? We just ate cookies one time 2 years ago.
I mean, in fairness, the Holocaust was made up, but what?
Are you rolling on that?
Matt Meyer, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
You know what?
I'm here all week.
Fuck you. I'm going to leave it in. You know what? You deal with it.
Anyone
the hate.
That thinks I'm serious can fucking right. die.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not so much that you're serious. It's just now, that it's just a bad joke.
I wonder if chewing gum would have the same effect.
Chewing gum would have the same effect. Any kind of eating, chewing.
But you can hear that sometimes, like on like, you know, talk radio or NPR. You just hear the people with the mush mouth, you know? You can just hear the like the saliva going.
Uh huh.
That's what it's like.
Chris, just do the cuff button. Don't you have a cuff button?
No.
Oh, you can just turn it off. Yeah. You know? Turn it back on.
Yeah.
I'm on the East Bay.
I'm on the West Bay.
So weird.
But I'm so hungry, just and I haven't eaten today.
Very interesting.
That I'm taking a bite and then leaning away, and then people are gonna be like,
"So you got?
I don't even like the idea that you're eating.
You got to have a little like a little meal shake thing.
Why don't you do tide a you over. Podcast like Doug, where he eats on the podcast?
Because this isn't dining with Doug.
It should be.
No, it's talking with humans about who are not eating. Although I would assume Dining with Doug has humans on it too. I've heard the show; they all seem to be human. I don't have any visual proof that they are.
They're not food. It's not food that's talking.
Doug, please don't eat me. Today we're going to eat this lobster. Doug, please. For the love of God.
Please.
Did you see that?
Doug, I know we're the cockroaches of the ocean, please, but for God's sake.
Think of my broccolinis.
Oh, broccolini.
Please think of the baby carrots. The small corns. Please. Not here, not now.
I mean the small corns on my feet.
Yes.
From trying to run away from you. Unsuccessfully.
Food's gonna get away from you, friend.
There you go. You better eat it before it runs away.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, what?
No, I'm just... Mondays. Huh? Right,
you
guys?
A case of them?
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for the insight, Garfield.
Yeah, yeah.
If only today could be lasagna, right?
Yeah. I just hate them. I hate them. And that's what I hate, too, is that like I have an office life to where I feel the urge to... go, ugh, Monday, and to be like, oh, Thursday, it's all right around the corner, the weekend, here we go. I feel like it's just like, I didn't get into the entertainment business to dread Mondays and like just like yearn for the weekend.
Well,
my life to be a weekend.
I think that is a rare thing when your life is a weekend. And I think most...
Dogtown Z-Boys, bro. We're going to be on summer vacation for the rest of our lives.
All right. Not as rare as I thought.
Of course, a lot of them got real bad into drugs. And
yeah, well, listen, it comes with a weekend.
Mm.
It's funny. Joan and I recorded a podcast yesterday, and Matt couldn't be there.
Yep.
And because it all came together really quickly. And
No. It's because the world's against Matt.
It is the world. Well, it
feels like that sometimes.
It should be against Matt because do you know why where he was?
Let's not get into this.
Well, I know you went to Santa Barbara.
Do you know what was going on there?
Oh, I don't.
What were you doing in Santa Barbara that you couldn't be at the podcast, Matt?
I don't know what was going on in Santa Barbara. I thought it was a nice day, maybe a vineyard
It was.
Visit.
I mean, I stopped off at the Santa Barbara Bowl for Daniel Tosh.
Really?
Yep. Went to Santa Barbara to see Tosh.
You live in Los Angeles.
Sure
you
do.
You could go to the Laugh Factory.
Sure, could.
You could probably go to a taping of the fucking show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been on the show.
Yeah. He drops in at the Meltdown.
Matt, yeah. You co-starred with a golf cart.
Yeah. So?
So you drove up for the...
Drove up for just a nice stay over. You know.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't mind. I don't mind Tosh at all.
Yeah.
I like. I think he's. I
great
think he's a good stand-up. Yeah, I think he's a good stand-up.
Great comic. Yeah. He's a good comic.
Great comic.
Beautiful thing about going to a comedy show at the Bowl, you're out by 9:45.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Show starts at 8:00. You're out by 9:45.
Then you just got to drive a couple hours.
Well, I mean, I had a hotel that was expensive.
Yeah.
So was it worth it?
They all were expensive. It was not. I've never been to Santa Barbara. It was great.
Really? You haven't been to Santa Barbara?
Never.
So you just wanted like, did you go up there for that? Or was it more just like, it's like, I just want an activity.
Activity. my lady friend had free tickets.
Okay. So, it's starting to be okay.
You know, I was like,
it's starting to be okay.
I just was like, here's the thing. It's nothing. It's like I like Daniel Tosh. I do like seeing him perform. Sure. But it's like just drive. He performs in town so much.
He does. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, we had tickets to this thing.
Yeah. I guess it's a nice little getaway, a weekend getaway.
Yeah. And it was like, I looked at the calendar. There was nothing going on this weekend as far as like stuff that we had to do podcast wise.
Was it good? Was the show good? Did you like it?
Good show. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That's big. Any openers?
Yeah, and I can't remember his name.
Sometimes
and I feel
he has Canaan open up.
And the opener was
wow,
was great. And I can't remember his name.
Mike
and I feel bad about that. No. Dwayne Perkins.
Oh, Dwayne Perkins is great.
Yeah. I ran into him recently for the first time in very long time, and it was just I love seeing that guy around.
He's so fucking funny.
Back at the Brew Co. He used to be around.
I remember. I think he had the joke of the night where he's talking about how homeless people communicate and. What they think they're saying versus what we hear. And then what he said, what we hear, just cracked me up because he just said, Nat King Cole stole my biscuits. And then the other homeless guy goes, Teletubbies, Teletubbies. Just cracked me up.
I like the one time I saw this dude, I would always give him money. He was very nice. He thought my name was Jahori.
That's your demon name.
Well, if you scribble that on a...
Yeah.
Open mic list.
No, not Dwayne. This homeless guy. Yeah.
Oh, Jonah Ray could sort of look like Jahori scribbled out.
Yeah, sure.
But I saw the homeless guy, what do I see? And one time he was like talking to himself, and I'd never seen him do that before. I'd never seen him be like atypical, crazy homeless guy. And I saw him, and I kind of was thrown back, and he saw me see him. And he just looked at me, and he completely broke from the conversation he was having with nobody. He was like, sorry, man, conference call. Which like goes to like my theory that homeless guys are just telepathically communicating with homeless guys in another part of the city.
That's Dana Gould bit.
Is that a Dana Gould bit?
That is a classic Dana Gould bit.
Really?
He said, for every guy you see going, no one tells a Navy man what to do because only a Navy man brings a goddamn Navy. He goes, somewhere else in the world, there's another guy by himself going, you were never in the Navy. That is a classic Dana Gould bit.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Just as a heads up, maybe don't develop that into a bit.
It was not, you know.
But it's a good idea.
Yeah. I wasn't
fucking
thinking about
that
it.
Bit. I love that bit. I love that bit so much.
The homeless are fun, guys.
They are.
Well, all right. So you've denied the Holocaust, and now the homeless are fun. Yeah.
I used to give a lot of money. I still try to when I can.
I always give money.
I remember I got to a point when I was living in Santa Monica and I just moved out here, 19 years old, and you know every time a guy would ask for money, I would say, well, I don't want to give you money, but if you're hungry, I'll go take you to get some food.
Yeah,
and I did that. I took a guy to a hot dog on a stick near the pier once. One time a guy was like, hey,
you got
man,
more hot dogs shoved in your ass that way.
I did.
I just
can't have a normal conversation. Tell you guys a story.
Sorry.
I was just imagining the montage in Commando with Alyssa Milano and Schwarzenegger. Only it's you and a homeless guy.
I don't know.
She puts ice cream on your face.
Oh yeah.
I think they should reenact that now.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I'd watch it. Anything with Milano.
Oh, yeah, she's great too.
What else did we do this weekend? Well, we had a super secret video shoot, which was amazing. Made something
super
really fun for the channel.
That Matt wasn't invited to.
Well, you guys always have those. They're not secret anymore.
Not the way you think.
It's the non-Matt club.
It's not even pizza.
I enjoyed that club. A lot of the world is
I mean,
there.
Matt Belknap was there, but I mean, you know.
No,
he was
wait. Guys,
Matt, we can have one.
Rule.
We can have one, Matt.
Oh.
No Homer's Club. We can
you
have one.
I'm not going to lie. Matt Belknap's not a bad Matt to have if you're going to pick one.
Belknap's great.
Yeah.
He's got a
yeah.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
Are you doing Matt Belknap's voice?
That was, yeah.
Doing a Sasquatch.
Yeah. Dude. I can't now. That's the shitty thing about my impression.
I do a great Matt Belknap 10 minutes after I wake up. And then it goes away.
Drive the conversation. I'm eating away from the microphone.
I could go back into telling a story that you'll interrupt when you're done showing.
Okay, go ahead.
Nah, that's all right.
Homeless guy, hot dog on a stick. Bring us back there, Jonah.
Past its time.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I went to a wedding this weekend.
Matt, pretend that we're homeless and this story is a hot dog on a stick. And you're going to take us to it.
You said Matt.
Yeah, he did. That was weird. He's never mixed our names.
Did Matt pretend we're homeless?
I mean,
the story
I'll pretend
is a hot
homeless.
Dog. You said Matt.
Really?
When trying to refer to me, Jonah, you said the word
you're
Matt.
You're just as bad as most of our fans.
Listen, Jahori. First of all,
wait
Jahori.
A second. You're just as bad as most of your fans.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get some sustenance into my body. I haven't eaten all day.
That's not our fault.
I know.
You could have woken up a little bit earlier.
It's fun being the pips.
I would love to figure out a...
You could have woken up a little bit earlier. Let's be honest.
You don't have to be pips.
I don't
you,
mind.
You don't have to be pips.
I'm no Gladys Knight, I'll tell you that much.
What? Yeah. You could be two guys without a show to be on.
It's been about a week and a half since he's...
Yeah, that's I think your longest...
Good run,
your
good
longest
run, Chris.
Run
good run.
Threatening to fire us.
Good run.
I'm not threatening to fire you. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, if you...
Listen, we'll take Phoebe and Jonah can be on it.
And
a beard.
All right.
Guys, it's not...
What's the matter?
Some episodes you can't be at because you have jobs.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
Stop treating me like Matt. I'm not the one complaining about stuff I can't make.
You made a pip joke.
Glass Nine the Pips.
You made
They're a
pip
great
joke.
Group.
What are you talking about? Didn't you make the pip joke?
No, he made the pip joke.
You made the pip joke.
I like the Glass Nine the Pips.
See, I thought
Midnight
you were...
Midnight Train to Georgia.
I thought you were saying, like, whatever, we're just your backup singers.
No, they're great singers.
Okay.
I don't... Let's start the episode over. This is just...
So no Holocaust joke.
No. Let's keep that in. Let's just start with that.
Chris, it was just a, a band joke. It was really not like a... See, the way you projected it onto making that an insult that I did, that tells a lot.
Well, I'm only going off the fact that that's how you normally communicate. And I think anyone listening to that would be like, oh, I think he was saying that...
Sorry, I'm Chris Novoselic.
Oh, I like him. He's a good bass player.
Yeah, he's a great bass player.
Yeah.
Lounge Act? Those are two amazing bass lines.
Yeah, but it was so satisfying at the Video Music Awards that one year when the guitar came back and hit him on the head and he stumbled off stage.
Yeah.
That was really...
He threw that thing real high.
At which... I mean, it's not... When you throw a guitar straight up in the air, it's not that hard to not be underneath the path of the guitar.
He was trying to catch it. He wasn't going to let it drop.
He caught it.
He did.
With his head and face.
Yeah.
But I... That was very... And as much as I love that band, a very satisfying moment to me, because I was sort of in the mindset of like, you're rock stars. Do you really at this point is the illusion of destroying your instruments? It doesn't mean anything. You have 50 other guitars waiting in the wing.
Did you watch that documentary on the Nevermind that's on Netflix?
No, I still need to get watch
it. I watched it and they were, Grohl was like, that was just a gimmick we did to get off stage after 45 minutes. Can't come back out. The equipment's broken.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But it still was a little bit of a, the instruments fight back sort of a scenario.
Did you see a Threadless just made a Hoth Sauce t-shirt?
I did see Hoth Sauce, yeah. I did see Hoth Sauce.
We should copyright this stuff.
What are you talking about?
Didn't we make that up in the Houston show?
Well, we...
Hoth Sauce?
I don't... Hoth Sauce.
Oh.
I mean, it's... Listen, here's the thing. It is possible. I have seen numerous things that coincidentally were on this podcast first and then became things, and I'm fine with that. That's not a real huge leap to make, so I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt.
The timing's suspicious.
It's...
Fastronaut?
The timing's
Fastronaut,
suspicious.
Well, they admitted that one.
Oh, did they admit that?
I think so.
Oh, good for you guys.
But it didn't mean anything, ultimately.
Get me a fucking t-shirt. Why haven't they sent me a free t-shirt?
I don't know.
We can make our own and make a lot more money off of it.
No, we can't.
By a lot more, you mean any.
Yes.
Well, anything more than zero is a lot.
That's true. That is a principle of math. Anything more than zero is a lot compared to zero.
Right.
That's
Tom.
Who would you, was it? Tom McNamara?
Yep.
Tom!
Woohoo!
Stage manager. You feeling better or your feelings still hurt?
Who's feeling? Oh, feelings.
About how I was trying to like feel confident about being the Pips and you said it was a bad thing?
Well, I thought you meant because the Pips were backup singers. And that you were saying, like, we're just your backup singer. I thought that was the thing, comment you were making.
I mean, if you listen to Midnight Train to Georgia, they are a big part of that song.
They're huge. Yeah. Huge part of it.
Yeah. There's, in any group, there's a front person.
Sure.
And that would be you.
Maybe. Unless you're the Temptations.
Or the Beatles.
Or the Beatles.
That's tough. Stillwater, though. That's a tough one, too.
He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Oh,
no, I'm fine. I don't get my feelings hurt by you.
You sure?
You know what hurts his feelings? Mondays.
I got a case of them.
Well, then let me retract my
Pip Attack.
Pip Attack. Just throwing a pip.
Pip Attack of the Show. Attack. But then they all come in on a chorus.
Midnight Podcast of Georgia.
We're getting a new opening pretty soon. I think like next week or something.
Woohoo.
The Attack of the Show.
Oh, I don't care.
So they're finally going to take Kevin Pereira off the opening of Attack of the Show that he hasn't been on for a couple months.
When you say we're, it sounds like you're talking about us, not your job.
I'm sorry.
We are all collectively.
I know you're part of a fun, happy family.
Well, I like it over there.
Yeah. It is it's a nice show. It's a good vibe.
Doesn't concern us, Chris.
Okay. No, doesn't concern me anymore.
We're a family. We're the only family you got.
I got all my sisters and me. I had a nice email exchange with
Gordon Ramsay.
No, you had a Twitter exchange. Yeah, has it continued?
We covered that. No, I'm waiting. I'm gonna play cool.
Yeah.
A few days off and then. Hey, Gordo.
If you have sex with Gordon Ramsay and then ejaculate on him, are you worried he's going to rate it?
I don't know what he would say.
What is the consistency of this? How's that, Gordon Ramsay?
It's awful.
Yeah.
Wasn't very good. Nor was the premise.
I agree. No, the premise was B minus, C plus.
Really?
Yeah, because the impression was about a D. It was vaguely of that section of the planet.
Sure.
Just not that great.
Yeah. I understand.
Just not that great.
It's okay.
I think.
Tell us about your email.
From the Mohawk guy from. I don't know how to say his
Mohawk
name.
Bobek.
It's Bobek.
Yeah.
Mohawk Bobek.
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 Really sweet guy. Really great guy. And we're gonna try to get him on the podcast. I would be best friends with him. It's fucking NASA flight director. People are way.
Well, why don't you see
smarter.
What kind of guy he really is, and then we'll make that decision. Okay.
Has anyone ever said, "I wish people would just stop loving me for my brain"? Why do people have to love me because I'm so smart? I don't think anyone says that. No. You just flip off Andy, the stage manager.
He just likes waving at stage manager.
Only stage managers.
I saw Cinematic Titanic last night.
I wanted... I just knocked that over.
Mm.
How was it?
It was awesome.
What was the movie?
Doll Squad.
I've never seen Doll Squad.
It's really fucking horrible. It's kind of a cool backstory.
So
but
who, Cinematic Titanic is Joel?
Is Joel Hodgson.
Frank Conniff.
Trace Beaulieu.
Trace Beaulieu.
Frank Conniff. J. Elvis Weinstein. Mary Jo Peel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. And she's like...
Oh, she's great.
She's like the batting average.
I feel
is,
like most of the great jokes on Mystery Science Theater
written
after
by
Mike... took over were Mary.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you think she wrote some of the best jokes? Or?
Yeah. Well, she was the head writer towards the end.
Yes.
And I think like some of those episodes you can tell like what's hers and what's not.
Yeah. And it was great. And Dave Gruber Allen did some stuff
in
the beginning. Yeah.
He's back in town?
Yeah.
He went away for a while.
He was on the show. I mean, I don't know what like maybe he's doing stuff with him, but he came out and danced The Sign by Ace of Base.
Sure.
And then he did dramatic Titanic. dramatic Titanic, where he did commentary. So Trace and Mary Jo did a scene from the dramatic play Dollhouse from like 1878 or something like that. And so he was off to the side of them while they were doing the reading with jokes.
That's awesome.
And so that was good. And then Frank came out and did stand-up.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which is, he's great. Frank Conniff is such a good stand-up.
Just by the way, just going back to Dave Allen for a sec, people don't know Gruber was in the Higgins Boys and Gruber with Steve and Dave Higgins. And then also Naked Trucker, more recently people might know.
He was also the hippie in an episode of Mr. Show.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just really bummed out since the Dead broke up.
He's one of the funniest people.
He's also the, he was in Freaks and Geeks.
One of the funniest people you could ever talk to.
Actually, let's dive into a little bit of history of the Higgins boys and Gruber. Dave Higgins, you will recognize from
Ellen and Malcolm in the Middle.
And Malcolm in the Middle is he's the kind of doughy guy with the glasses. And Steve Higgins is now the announcer
on Fallon.
Also head writer of
A Saturday night.
No, but is he the head writer of the show, or is he the head writer of?
Well, I don't know if he's the head writer of the show. I think he's an. I think he's an EP on the show.
EP on the show.
No.
Okay. Or is he? Does he work mainly on?
Because Seth is the head writer of the show.
On Weekend Update.
Or
the show in general.
I think he might have elevated above just being head writer on the show to like an executive producer of the show. Okay. Higgins.
But so yeah, there's like a bunch of like, you know,
yeah,
comedy.
So there, he's in the 30 Rock building all day long, and it's like, you know, he's up in the SNL offices, comes down to announce Fallon, and then goes back to work.
The back and forth between Fallon and him is the best part of the show.
Steve Higgins was, you know, the Higgins boys and Gruber all worked on Trash, the MTV show, and it was my first sort of foray into being around the true writer comedian types who were so goddamn funny to just be around, but they drank a lot of coffee and smoked a ton of cigarettes, but just like everything they said was just like right on point and hilarious. And Gruber, I have this long running joke, I think that's like 10 years old, with Dave Allen, which is, it's all based around Eddie Money's Two Tickets to Paradise. And so he'll just come in and go, "Hey man, so just to let you know, I think I won this sweepstakes or something, but I got these two tickets." And I'm like, "Where is it to?" And he's like, "Paradise." And I'm like, "Really? When's it gonna leave?" "Oh, we're leaving tonight." "Well, should I bring anything? Pack your bags." Like, and we basically just every fucking time I see him. "So wait a minute. So are you going alone?" "No, I got an extra ticket. I got two. I want to bring you. Go pack."
"Where is it again?"
"It's in Paradise."
"Oh, and when are we leaving?"
"We're leaving tonight."
"Okay."
"Actually, so you're probably going to want to get home with traffic." "You know, you want to get out. Or do you want to have dinner and then leave for Paradise after traffic?" I don't know why that just fucking makes me laugh every time I see him. And it doesn't matter how long it's been since I've seen him. I was like, "How are those tickets?" He's like, "Well, they're to Paradise, so pretty good."
"Pretty good. Pretty good tickets. Good deal. Got a good deal going."
"Got them on Orbitz?"
Yeah.
"Groupon of Paradise."
"Groupon of Paradise."
"Groupon of Paradise.
You want to go in on a Groupon of Paradise?" Matt, you might have it. You don't even want to say you want to
Groupon of Paradise. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah, but so it was a great show, really, really fucking awesome night. Like, I was getting so exhausted by the end of it, just from, you know, when you're consistently laughing throughout an entire movie. It was such a fucking horrible movie. It was this guy that made Corpse Grinders, and he made a bunch of money off of Corpse Grinders, and so like he bought this like castle in the hills, in the Hollywood Hills, and the cast is made up of mainly beautiful women. Yeah. All just tons of beautiful
what
women.
Year is this movie?
I want to say like early 70s.
Early 70s, okay.
Yeah. And it's funny because like they also shot a lot around his mansion castle in the hills. And Joel said, he's like, yeah, he produced and directed the movie. He also wrote the book on how to write off the castle you bought in the Hollywood Hills. but it was like horrible edits, just shitty performances, bad audio, no nudity.
Okay, that's too bad.
It was so fun. It was so fun. I'm bummed I couldn't go to any of the Manos screenings.
Riff Tracks Live.
Yeah.
I wanted to go to that too. All those, but they
were everywhere too.
I was working all day yesterday, so I just didn't. I wasn't.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm going to go to see Joel present a bunch of odds and ends stuff.
Cinefamily, right?
At Cinefamily, yeah.
Nice.
At Everything Yes Festival, man. Awesome.
Yeah. Looking forward to Pete and Pete.
Yeah, Pete and Pete's going
to
be great.
I would go tonight, but I have these two tickets.
To where?
Paradise.
How'd you get two?
I was a kind of a buy one, get one. I mean, it was like a buy one.
BOGO.
I bought the first one. I technically paid for the second one with points.
Yeah, sure.
And so, but it was sort of like a buy one, get one free thing.
You weren't enough Expedia points.
I got enough.
When are you taking off?
I don't know. I don't want to leave too late. should probably be tonight.
I don't think too late.
I mean, because if we leave tomorrow, then we lose tomorrow. I want to be there. I want to be to Paradise tonight so that, you know, we probably won't do much tonight, but then we'll wake up in Paradise tomorrow and then have the day.
I got two bus tickets to Paradise City. Is that the same?
That is not the same.
Is that the low rent version of what you're doing?
Well, all I'm saying is a lot of cum will be leaking out of you.
It's green.
Yeah.
The girls are very pretty.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know what? Fuck it. Take me down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do 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 do.
I still think about all the fat jokes we made about Axl Rose and laugh. Every once in a while, just like, oh, that was a good run.
Well, I think he's 8 axles now. Come on, guys.
Hey!
Put chains on your tires.
Yeah, he's been dancing with Mr. Coldstone.
That one hit me pretty hard. For
I've been dancing with Mr. Coldstone.
Flip that ice cream over mochi. Oh, that's so not nice.
Man, you're really fat. Use your illusion.
Come on.
Come on.
Part two.
Yay. What happened to you? Let's just say it was a spaghetti incident.
Artificially sweet child of mine.
Artificially sweet. Sweet child of mine with aspartame.
Yeah. Sweet child of mint.
With miracles. And I can't get that out of my fucking head now.
I go there around 7, go again around 9.
I want to watch you eat. No, it's just becoming a weird Al parody.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. Recomposing. And good. I had I still refuse to learn my lesson with interacting with people.
And I keep talking types. About too is something you should try and.
No. What's this?
Wait, what are you saying?
No, on. I think I think that even for people that listen, like I think they feel that if you don't respond to them on Twitter, maybe they'll hear about it on the podcast.
Maybe, I'm sure some of our listeners are sick of hearing us talk with troll hunting. But
great, this great movie,
Troll Hunter, it's pretty good.
See that still, yeah.
But you'd think I would learn my lesson, but I just fucking don't. And I got into one with a guy. This guy named Jay, at Curiously.
No,
listen, you don't know the story yet.
No, I love this.
At Curiously Baked on Twitter. And I saw a couple of comments that he made that were kind of slams, where were you when I was getting pushed around in high school with comic books? Oh, right. You were hosting Singled Out, something like that. And I was like, God damn it.
Well, that's just an age difference.
And so I just, I went back and I'm like, I basically went back after him. And then the next tweet was like, oh my God, dude, I was kidding. I was referencing this other thing that's happening on Twitter. And he's actually a huge fan of the show. And he was like, I started a podcast because of yours and Kevin Smith's show. And so, again, I think it's obviously an ego thing, but it just, I'm still weirdly hypersensitive about that shit.
Pride.
It is a little. Well, it's
you work very hard.
I work very hard, but it just kind of made me stop and go. I'm a douchebag again because I didn't see that he was doing a bit, and he actually was an incredibly sweet guy who's been a big supporter of the show.
Yeah.
So Jay.
This morning, some guy like shit on me. Then I looked at his Twitter feed. He also shit on Matt and Eugene Merman. I was like, well, that's fine.
And so then
nobody respond to that dude.
And then I think about those things, and then I have to stop and go, oh, I'm a legitimate piece of shit because I went to visit my friend Jenny Jardin while she was getting radiation this week at Cedars. She had a day, she was diagnosed with breast cancer earlier in the year.
Is that public
knowledge? Yeah, she's tweeting about it.
Okay.
She's tweeting about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so she tweeted that she was just having a rough time, and I sent her a direct message. I was like, is there anything I can do? And she's like, do you want to come visit? And she was actually excited about the fact that She was like, the machinery, the technology is so mind-blowing that you'll probably actually be fascinated by it.
Oh, wow.
And so I went and spent, you know, I went and spent a couple hours with her, and she's a fucking way stronger human being than I feel like I ever could be. It was really inspiring to spend the day with her.
When is she going to start to make meth to pay for all that machinery?
She did make her fair share of Heisenberg jokes.
Okay.
I was like, when's the meth lab start? And she's fucking smart enough to do it. You know, it just, I hate to be cliche about it, but when you go to an entire wing of a hospital and everyone there has cancer and you don't, you go, you know, probably not the biggest deal in the world that my phone didn't pair with my car. You know what I mean? Like or that some guy said something shitty about me, you know, that, you know, a dear friend of mine has to go through 6 weeks of radiation every day to live.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? She looks great and she's in
Chris, good she spirit. Has cancer. Stop hitting on her during her chemo. You look great.
you look fantastic. She really does. She looks fantastic. And it really, I don't know. It's sometimes you just have to be reminded like, oh yeah, all those. I think it sort of reminds me of the first Onion article after 9/11, which was they were in this weird position of like, how do we
jump back in?
How do we jump back in? How are people going to take this? And their approach was, you know, something to the effect of America longs to, you know, get back to giving a shit about dumb thing, you know, like caring about shit again. And I think it's sort of that thing is that we not only have to appreciate, you know, the cushy lives that we have and the things that we have and the people that we have around us, but we literally have to appreciate the fact that most of us have dumb problems. Just inconsequential problems. I mean, we're human beings, and so a lot of us are problem solvers, and so we take things very seriously that, you know, probably shouldn't be taken seriously, but we just want things to work, and we want to fix things, or at least I do. And then, and you're like, oh, yeah, no, but these aren't real problems. You know, they're not real.
No.
Like, you know.
On the problem scale, they're closer to actually being an actual problem.
On the problem scale, they're closer to luxuries.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, no Wi-Fi in here. I guess I'll have to use my fucking...
Isn't that the worst, though, when you get someplace?
It is hard. Because
like, bad.
You know why?
Because
if I have an Instagram photo that I want to get up like that day, it's really hard.
And then Instagram starts failing, and you're like, what?
Because you know why? Because I got to leave town tonight.
Where are you going?
I'm going to paradise. Jonah, I have... Oh, this is awkward. I only have two tickets. But there's two of you.
Jonah, I get it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I know.
You're willing to give that up for Jonah?
No, I just know that would be what would happen.
You know what? Buddy.
He just got done talking about his friend with cancer.
I brought it back by making a joke.
Poor Matt was so sweet. But then I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to do.
I get it.
But anyway, Jenny is at Jenny, XENI, on Twitter. And whether you know her or not, she is the internet. She's one of the smartest people and loveliest people that
crazy.
You
crazy. Just around
ever
the same
meet.
Time as... getting diagnosed as TIG.
I know. Well, she's had it. She got diagnosed a little while ago, and TIG,
like TIG copied her.
Which is TIG normally doesn't rip off other people's bits.
No. She's very
I still haven't talked to TIG either, and I'm nervous too because I feel like she's probably being so inundated with people in her face. Like, what's going on? Like, she probably needs her own time to process what's happening.
Yeah. No,
and so
sure.
I haven't been all up in her face about it, but I do care about her and I'm genuinely concerned. And
it's a bummer.
Do you know anything?
Haven't heard anything since
just cause I know she talked about it on the other podcast.
Yeah. No, just, you know, she found a lump. The doctor said it's nothing to worry about. And then she went back. And then he says, you have breast cancer in both of your breasts. And then that was basically announced. It then did that show with Burr and CK and stuff and Ed Helms. And then, I guess, you know, since that's only been like, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So she's probably just in the process of getting ready for chemo or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, what sucks a lot, too, is that, you know, she just got the head writing position on Amy Schumer's sketch show, which like was going to be a you know big gig for Tig.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it rhymed. You can deal with it.
It was an accidental rhyme.
It was an accidental rhyme. But yeah, I mean, I really hope it you know works out.
Well, I guess you know the message is you could say hi to Jenny, give her a hug on Twitter, give Tig a hug, and just do you know do the best you can to be supportive. And then I think the other best way to support people is to appreciate your own life.
Yeah,
to appreciate. I think the best thing that you is not if you, especially if you don't know someone very well, and you're like, oh, I really want to help this person, and you know, but there's not a situation where you can donate money or time or anything. If you do nothing else, just take a moment and appreciate your own life.
Yeah,
I think.
Speaking of life and whatnot, and death, Tony Scott.
I know,
it's crazy, huh?
I don't know any of the details
he wrote like four different suicide notes to different people. And then he jumped off the bridge
in San Pedro.
So
inoperable brain cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That changes everything.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was. It was just kind of, I think, a go out.
Yeah.
You know,
on his own terms.
Yeah.
I can't.
Do what you gotta do.
I can't. Right. I can't begrudge that.
Nope.
Mm.
Because I don't know if I were 68 years old. Well, even if I were now.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we can't operate this, and you're just going to slowly... I would probably be like, well, fuck you guys, you know?
Yeah.
Where are you? I'm going home.
So I can't... yeah. What do you...
Yeah.
Well, the show took a serious turn.
Yeah, it really did.
I went to a wedding.
I don't even want these two tickets anymore. Well, do you guys want them? There's two of you.
No. I don't much care for Paradise.
What?
No.
Okay.
I'll take them.
What are you going to do with them?
Give one to Tosh.
So he could just make fun of you the whole time.
Yeah. How many more golf puns and fat jokes get, buddy?
What?
My face. Look at it. Struggling. Jokes. I will say that his stand-up delivery isn't quite like that. I think the show delivery is just the show delivery.
It's also a different platform. You know, like he has time to build stories in his act.
Yeah.
His tone is always to me like the guy who doesn't understand why no one gets what his crazy points are. Like, what am I supposed to be? I think it's funny.
He referenced the rape thing like in a funny way, you know. And it was good. It was good act. It was good.
Did you guys check out the Bill Burr special on Netflix? The one that just came out?
No!
Yeah, it's just came out only on Netflix.
Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, it's called You People Are All the Same. Which is you hear his voice when you even just say it.
You people are all the same. What am I?
Yeah.
Fucking love Bill Burr.
Yeah, he was great. He was great in that episode. I love seeing him come back onto Breaking Bad for that last week's episode.
I am behind Breaking Bad this season.
God, there's two more.
Get behind it.
I know.
Good season.
I know. I understand that.
That's what you said. You're behind it.
Oh, yeah. I'm behind. I'm philosophically behind it. I am behind on so many things that I need to watch that I just don't have. And with a show like Breaking Bad, it's just like I'll have like a 12-hour day and my brain just feels like spaghetti.
Well, you don't want to like it's,
and I feel like I want to be engaged when I'm watching that show.
And plus, you don't want to watch it at the end of the day when you're about to go to bed because it kind of just leaves you with a residue where you're bummed out and like, oh man,
like,
you know.
Chris, I got just the thing for you: 7 seasons of Hell's Kitchen on DVD.
What?
I already plowed through them. So,
are you?
If you want,
did you just get back from Paradise? Because that sounds like something you picked up at the gift shop
on the way out.
Yeah.
That's all they sell.
I saw the trailer for the new season of Dexter. Which fucking looks insane.
Really? Something,
like, shit's finally happening.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, his, like, you know, the whole, like, in the trailer for the new season.
Yeah, he's just haunted by John Lithgow's ghosts.
Yeah. In the trailer for the new season, you see, like, you know, like, his sister catches him, and he has to fucking deal with that.
Oh, they had to get to that sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. But the fucking, god damn, it looks good.
He was at that party we went to Saturday night. I talked to him for, like, 10 minutes with Ben Schwartz. Who's fucking hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Talk
to him on your own.
What?
You needed Ben Schwartz there.
Well, he was with... I wouldn't have just gone up to him.
Oh, they hang out together?
Yeah, I just wouldn't have gone up to him.
They were in a movie together.
Yeah.
But Yeah, you know, and I threw out the podcast invitation, but he didn't really respond. He didn't say no. He just didn't really say anything.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, podcasts are not for everyone.
No.
No. Podcasts are not for everyone. That's correct. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if they were?
But everyone has a podcast.
Yeah. I think more people... It's become kind of like porn, where more people, I think, have podcasts than listen to podcasts. Yeah. Like, I think more people have had sex on video than people that have ever had sex.
So you're saying the podcast community is a lot like an open mic or a bringer room, where it's like there's more comics in the room than actual... I don't think
that's
true. I always
equate to like... It's like going to an open mic is like going to a gym where there's just one piece of equipment and everyone's just watching and waiting for their turn to use it. Come on, I got to use that dumbbell.
The one dumbbell.
The one dumbbell. Hurry up.
Come on, guys.
It's good. It's good. I like that way you use the dumbbell. It's my turn. Watch it. Now everyone watch me. Even though I wasn't watching you, watch me use the dumbbell.
Look at his form.
And then there's people like me going out to other people going, hey, you're a really good exerciser. You should come work out with this dumbbell. I'll help you produce that.
You have a system set up where you can exercise here.
Yeah. I don't like exercising in this building. I belonged to the gym in this building for like 2 months.
Tonight.
And then I just felt awkward because, you know, just like running on the treadmill really hard and then just seeing other people I work with. And I don't know, I always just felt a little exposed.
Yeah, I never bothered.
I only feel exposed when I come out of the shower there.
Oh, you shower there?
Yeah, hell yeah. The water pressure is amazing.
Do the balls come out or?
Yeah, the balls are out.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't like, I'm one of those guys that has to have the towel skirt and then I put the underwear on up in the skirt.
I'm so fat the towel doesn't wrap around me.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just like, fuck it.
All right.
You should just shove it under your belly.
Yeah.
Let it just hang like a drape.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Almost like an old, like an old Mayan.
Yeah, yeah. What?
Like an old Mayan.
I'll do it.
So this, do you like this? Do you like?
I do like that gym. Yeah, I got everything I need. Very close to my house, I can walk to the gym.
So that's extra exercise right there.
I mean, it's not really exercise. It's just walking.
Exercise is good. It's good.
Only about a mile.
Not that bad.
But then that adds 2 miles to 2 miles of walking to a workout.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
It is.
What else do you guys have going on this weekend? This week?
This coming week. What else do we have going on?
I'm going to Star Wars Celebration this week.
Oh, say hi to my mom.
I will say, she's gonna be there.
Yeah.
I think Channel 101 is this weekend.
She wants to know what's Chris doing there? I need to find him. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Things. I'm assuming he's doing things.
We're doing a
bunch
of stuff.
Probably a schedule on the internet.
Interviews. You know, there'll be live events.
Yeah. And Channel 101.
And then Saturday. I am going to. I'm zipping up to New York to host the premiere screening of Doctor Who.
Is that the thing that's in the calendar there for us?
What?
Yeah. What is that thing on Monday?
Dork Fork.
Oh, you're not in that.
Yeah. Well,
That's
a show that. That's a show that Andy Bolt is doing with us and the Fine Brothers. It's a Nerdist Channel show.
Ah,
what is it?
It's basically a little cooking show that themes dishes around. Like we're gonna
Dork Fork, get it?
We're gonna do one. We're gonna do one for the Doctor Who premiere. We're gonna do one for the Dexter premiere. We're gonna do one for the Walking Dead premiere. Ooh. So they're sort of crafting these dishes that. People that, you know, like, oh, here's a fun thing you could make to watch this, you know.
Yeah.
Not entirely unlike, you know, what Janet did on Dinner and a Movie, but the difference being that it's way more focused.
Yeah.
Like TARDIS cupcake kind of thing.
And
you know?
Not on television for 20 years.
What?
And not on television for
And not on television
years.
For 20 years. Yeah, that show, Dinner and a Movie was on for like...
Very long time.
15, 16 years.
Yeah.
And Janet only did the last 5 or 6 years, but... And it still, before that, had a huge lifespan.
Dinner and Movie! You should make Beef Wellington before the premiere of Hell's Kitchen.
Well...
I mean, I'm just saying.
You know, it's possible to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you making any headway on getting Gordon Ramsay on here?
No. But, I mean, I'm not the booker. I think our booker should do that. What, did you just, like, mad dog someone?
It looked like someone had, like, one of those... transport a human organ thing.
A cooler?
Yeah.
It could have just been a couple of tall boys.
Couple of tall boys help me with my insides, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. We could get bookers to go out to Gordon Ramsay, but you have a direct pipeline to Gordon Ramsay since he's following you on Twitter, so you could always ask him.
And Georgia, of Allie and Georgia fame, says she may be able to help.
Because here's the thing. What happens a lot of times is that publicists mostly get paid to shoot things down. Mm-hmm. And so if his publicist is not familiar with us or the show and we have our people reach out to them, they'll just go, no. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, if you have a direct pipeline into someone and go, hey, do you want to do this? I'll go, of course. Because publicists are just paid to be a wall.
Is that what you found in your years of walling?
I've had many publicists in the past that didn't really, you just pay them a lot of money and nothing happens. But now I have some people that I really like.
Good.
They're very nice.
Nice.
Nice ladies.
Joe just rested his chin on the microphone.
That's your style.
Yeah. What's wrong?
No.
Still the Mondays?
No, I was trying to get my brother a job at this place, and they're going to go with someone with a little bit more experience.
What does he do?
He's trying to get a PA gig.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
You should tell me these things.
I know. I don't want to cross any, you know.
You're not crossing any barriers. He's your brother.
I know.
Yeah,
but also, like, you know, like,
he's my brother.
Because I know, because of 4 points, that, you know, there was like a couple PAs he had on that thing that are out of work now. So
right.
They would have, you know, precedence over my brother.
Sure, but we have other, you know, productions and stuff. It's just, that's a good bit of information to have.
Yeah,
because now I know that, because I know a couple people that are staffing up for things.
Yeah, I was going to help them get a car. Because that's the thing that you need when you're a PA.
You do need that,
yes.
You do need that. Bus PAs don't work out that
no,
well.
No.
And taking a cab everywhere to do your PA job is frightfully expensive.
Yeah. But if you can help, that'd be really, really cool.
I would be more than happy to. And I'm not just saying that because we're recording right now. And then off the air, I'm like, Jonah, how dare you fucking.
Yeah. Sorry. And I didn't mean to, like.
I mean, I wanted people to think I was cool because I could help out your brother. But you know that's not really going to happen, right?
No. It just kind of, like, I saw the email and I was like, oh, maybe he got it. Maybe it'd be good news. And
No, I'm happy to put that out into the.
He listens, so he's going to hold it to you.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll tell Seth, our head of production.
Cool. Today. That'd be great.
What else? 49 minutes. I mean, we could wrap it now if you guys want. If you guys want to get
Matt's
back to
Matt's only said like 5 things.
No, he had a lot of good information.
That's the usual though. I don't really say that much.
The easy way.
The easy way. I saw
it's a weird choice.
Yeah, yeah,
I always wanted to ask.
When I was a kid,
Bob
I was like,
Gale.
Like, huh?
Or Zemeckis, like, what the fuck they were thinking.
I saw a video the other day that's I think from last year. It's a Whitest Kids video. Whitest Kids, you know? It's
yeah. Which one?
One of the funniest fucking sketches I've ever seen in my life. And so, and just like having a channel now and looking at that, I showed it to Seth, our production guy, and I was like, this could not have cost more than $500. And it's
Which one?
I don't want to give it away if people haven't seen it, but it's the one where it's basically a Jaws parody. Where they're having the town hall meeting.
I know that one.
And then the one guy just leans forward and like, oh, what you got there is a shark. And then he just goes on this whole monologue and you just, the ending, you absolutely cannot predict the way that it ends. And it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So just search, is it Jaws?
Maybe, yeah.
Just search Whitest Kids You Know, Jaws, Shark. It's a 2.5 minute video and it's just fucking, it's gorgeous. It's so funny what they did with it.
We should have them on. I mean, you
we
know,
absolutely should
Trevor,
have them on.
Sam, and Zach all live out here.
Great.
I think Timmy is still in Portland and Darren's in New York, but, you know, I'm sure they'd be happy to be on.
I would love to have them on.
I saw Sam yesterday. He was at Cinematic Titanic.
That's great.
Yeah, they're fun dudes. I made buds with them when I was living in New York, when they were still just doing their show at the back of pianos every Sunday.
Those guys are amazing. The Birthday Boys, like there's
Birthday
a couple really
awesome.
Good, really good sketch groups.
Yeah, there's a really good Channel 101 show right now called Business that everyone should check out.
Business, all right.
Yeah, Wade Randolph.
Oh, love Wade Randolph, former writer on Web Soup, and then I have a Canadian pal named Mark Little, who was not only a phenomenal stand-up, but was in the group Picnic Face.
Oh, I remember Picnic Face.
And Mark, Chloe showed me this video of like it's a fake commercial for a truck, like a muscle truck.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. And I'm watching, I'm like, this is sublimated. Like, this isn't just internet video funny. This is just fucking hilarious funny. And then when I looked at the name, like Mark Little. Oh, Mark Little. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to meet a guy who is an amazing stand-up comic and then also a great sketch writer. Like those.
Yeah.
Usually it's sometimes it's like one or the sometimes it's one or the other. Not always, but sometimes it's one or the other.
I don't know. It's tough to.
Those are some fun things to look at. So the Whitest Kids Jaws video, Picnic Face also funny. Mark Little the truck video, whatever.
Channel 101.
Channel 101 business. Anything else?
I've been enjoying the. Did you see the kid that made the video for Emily? He sings. He dubs. He's the Wrecking Ball is his name on YouTube, and it's just this kid that makes this vlog, and it's just really funny to laugh at him.
I loved the auto-tune review of Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Fucking like it's a good song. Damn.
Hey, who is that guy we just waved to?
He does
a production. He's a camera. He's a camera guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember
his name. Ted and George.
Me either.
George Cameraman.
Cameraman.
George Cameron.
Yeah.
George Cameron.
Yeah.
George Cameraman. George
Zimmer.
George Cameron.
Perfect. What about Brett Favre?
I haven't seen that movie in so fucking long.
I love that. But I like even every time like football comes up or any kind of like people talking about athletes, Deanna goes, "Oh, what about Brett Favre?"
You guys looked fantastic the other night.
Thank you.
You were in a suit. D was in a dress.
Yeah.
You guys looked like a smashing, really
Hollywood power couple. You
kind
can say
of, yeah. Seriously.
No. I mean, yeah, we had the wedding before that party, so just it was
Your wedding. You went to a wedding.
No, we went to our friend Dave Lyons' wedding and Michelle. It was awesome. There was quotes from during the ceremony. There was quotes from Air Supply.
Sure.
There was
hopefully not. I'm All Out of Love.
No. Okay, but there was quotes from Dio.
Yep.
There was a it's like to quote Dio, you know, lightning, it always brings me down, but the electricity between you two always brings me up.
Did you say someone came out playing a saxophone?
Yeah, they were like during Michelle's vows. It's like she's like, I don't really know what to say. Then all of a sudden, like a shirtless with suspenders, a bow tie, like it's weird haircut.
Sexy sax man?
Was it actually sexy sax man, or was it a guy playing sexy sax man?
It was like just some weird guy.
Okay,
are you sure it wasn't sexy sax man
from Lost Boys?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, there's a
guy on YouTube.
Sexy Sax Man. Who plays the Careless Whisper riff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was him?
Yeah, it was him.
Oh my God. Fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, he threw a little pink smoke bomb into his thing, and then it just like came in, and it goes in like down the aisle, just starts like gyrating, and then spins around, goes back up the aisle, but keeps playing as he gets further and further away, so you just still hear it. Yep. You still hear it. Yep. Everyone's waiting.
There's a video of Sexy Sax Man on the internet playing like at the Grove, and it's so funny.
Yeah, it was so fucking funny. And then she walked down the aisle, Michelle the Bride, she walked down the aisle to I Believe in a Thing Called Love. Darkness.
By Darkness.
Yeah.
I believe in a thing called love.
And, like everyone's like clapping along and was they had a guitar player there doing the solo live.
Now that sounds like a fucking great wedding.
It was a great wedding and it was this really cool place.
Will you guys have another wedding? Because I would totally come to another wedding.
Dude, and like it's like, you know, they had fake tattoos for everybody that had their initials with a lightning bolt in between. So it was DL, lightning bolt, MB. And so everyone had, like, you know, people were putting it on their neck and they had buttons that like looked like you know, like a Iron Maiden kind of button. Yeah. And it was, and the reception was great. They're the fun band playing a bunch of covers called the Dearly Beloveds. And the food was fucking fantastic. They had a merch table where you can go and get like a shirt, like a really nice shirt with that, like, you know, the initials with the lightning bolt logo on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was,
That's pretty,
fucking awesome. It was such genius. a fun wedding.
Everyone has a responsibility to make a wedding that fun.
Dude, it just like, yeah, that's the way. You know, I officiated a wedding. I officiated a wedding.
Mike Henry's
wedding. Mike Henry's wedding.
You did?
Yeah. I was so fucking nervous. I think I was more nervous than Mike, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
But his hands weren't doing the shaking thing the whole time.
But it was
very sweet. It was a very nice wedding. It was weird though, because you know, Mike. And here's the thing that happens a lot in LA, where all of us could attest to this, that it's like, you know, you kind of, Mike is 42 now, and he, you know, just like you were, he looks like, you know, you look like you're just a young dude, you know, same with Mike. You would have never guessed the
age.
But you know, his high school friends came to the wedding and they look like they're a million and 2 years older than him.
Well, that's what's always so weird is that, you know, sometimes when I see people that I went to school with, like on, you know, like if they pop up on Facebook or whatever, I'm like, what if they think they look younger too? Because they really don't. What if I just lack the perspective on myself?
Yeah, it was weird. His brother is like, you know, this cop, and there's all these guys that are just in business.
Yeah.
And you know, they're all like One guy, I was like, what's that guy's name? Republican? Just like he fucking, you know, right. Like fucking crew cut pink tie.
Yeah.
Just like,
hey there, red tie.
Yeah. It's just like, it was just insane. There's all these guys. And like one guy I kind of knew because I'd met him before. I was like, man, what's up with those guys over there? He's all, oh, that's our old high school buddies, man. I thought maybe they were like older brother's.
Whose parents are they?
Yeah. He's like, I was like, that guy kind of looks like he's like a straight laced one. He's like, oh no, that's Jerry. Jerry can make a sex joke out of anything. He's hilarious.
Oh boy.
And they're all these Jerry. Rhode Island dudes. So they all like, I heard whatever, like so whatever. Much.
Whatever. Hey, Jerry, do you want a martini with a pussy in it? I can make a sex joke out of everything.
Whatever.
It's really fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's when you start to feel older is when you look around at the people that, and it's one reason why I'm sort of afraid sometimes to go digging around. It's almost like you don't want to dig around for questions you don't want the answers to.
Yeah, like why?
And so like, you know, like I have this vision in my head of all the people I went to school with. I'm like, that's how they look. And then there's, you know, there's some of them where I just don't want to, and like, oh no. I just instantly feel older.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the guys I grew up with still seem kind of young. A lot of people that I went to high school with that are still in Hawaii, like they, you know, they're just sunbaked and, you know, beer guts and.
Yeah. It's a weird thing.
I mean, I got the beer gut, but like, not sunbaked.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess there's a little bit of lifestyle in it that helps.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's just stimulation.
Maybe
like we're stimulating.
I got a haircut
more.
This weekend, and I just was terrified by all the gray that was coming off me. Just so much gray hair.
Yeah, but even though, like, I know a guy that like went gray in his 20s, and it's just, you know, it doesn't make him look old.
Yeah,
Brad Stevens,
yeah,
looks fucking great.
Yeah, yeah, he's got exactly.
Head of hair.
Yeah, he's got hair.
That's what I don't have.
You can.
I remember like
doctors out there want to write a prescription for Propecia.
I think where the sides really started to.
Who is?
Brad Stevens. It was on WebSoup where his sides really started to come in real gray.
It looks cool though. It's like Steve Martin-ish.
Yeah.
Total Steve. Well, this was a fun. It's been a couple of weeks since we did a Hostful podcast. It was fun.
This was diverse.
It was very diverse.
We got angry. We had laughs. We did some puns.
This was basically, if you could condense our friendships into a micro friendship in an hour, this was it.
Yeah,
we made inappropriate jokes. We talked about life and death.
We were catty towards each other.
We were a little catty and had hurt feelings.
I didn't say much.
Matt didn't say
you
much.
Are a jabberjaw when
then
you're
we then
out.
We started then yeah. we started then we got a little existential and started talking about, you know, our lives and our place in the world and our getting older and
comedy
and, comedy and weddings and wedding. TV. We fucking really just covered everything that we could, you know, talked about music and comedy sketches.
Should we call this episode Everything and the Girl?
I think we should call it Everything with Jerome Hathaway. But then people are going to think Jerome Hathaway is going to be on.
That's true.
I think we should probably call it Two Tickets to Paradise.
What about three, since it's the three of us?
I just have the two. I don't know why we're going over this again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now you're just making me feel bad that I didn't get... I mean, the problem is it's rude to ask for a third ticket to paradise. Because then it's like, when does it end? Like, oh, do I need a four? You know, there's not... It's not a fucking open bar. Well, I mean, it is because it's paradise, but I mean, it don't treat it like it's...
I always like doing it. I think we talked about this a long time ago when it happened, but like one of my favorite just hangout jokes was if there's like three guys, it's just like, it's like, all right, it's the Three Musketeers and Chris.
If there's only three guys.
Yeah. And then you have to explain, well, the relationship that me and Matt had.
It's like
the Three Musketeers.
And
it's
you're
like
just
the relationship
tagging along.
They have. And you're here too, and it's totally cool.
Yeah.
But like, we have a relationship much like they did.
It's never going to be... I mean, the problem is you kind of have to be sort of born into musketeerhood, and so you can't feel that bad about it.
Yeah, but I recently rewatched that episode of 30 Rock where I heard that joke on it, and I was like, oh, can I still do that without people thinking that I ripped it off?
That's always a bummer.
Yeah,
that's happened a couple times too. It happens a lot. It happens a lot with The Simpsons where you, I had one. Kind of recently, but I had already done it on television, and then I saw it on theirs, and I don't think they got it from me. It's sort of like hot sauce. It was Hank Azaria doing the haircut character, the guy who cuts hair, and he said Gabraham Lincoln.
I
did that on the John Oliver show a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and so I think that wasn't really a big leap to make.
Yeah.
So it's not,
I don't think you invented
but it is the kind of thing where if someone watched that and they're like, oh, okay. I mean, The Simpsons is going to get credit for that joke before I would first in most people's minds.
But that's always the thing though. It's like, if that happened, you just go, well, good thing it's already on TV.
I watched the 500th episode of The Simpsons and it was not bad. But what was really fun about it is that the opening couch gag was a super fast snap play of every couch gag they've ever done.
Oh, wow.
And they made a joke in there that was so Simpsons meta that it fucking blew me away. But they basically get kicked out of Springfield just because of all the shit that they've done to Springfield. Yeah. The town votes them out. And Homer and Marge sneak back in and they go to their house and there's police tape on it. And Marge says something like, oh, so many memories. And Homer goes, yeah, remember when we first moved in here and I talk like this? It was such a, like, the whole episode was worth it for that joke. I paused. I was like, what the fuck? Because I was eating, kind of half paying attention. Like, wait, no.
Yeah.
Watch
that's
it.
Amazing.
Watch that a couple times.
I love that episode where Abe and Marge's mom were going to get married.
Yep.
And then Homer was convinced that their kids would end up being like inbred freaks. And then they become these really well-drawn kids for a moment. They'll have, what is it, like, they'll have small eyes and five fingers.
Yeah. All right. Probably got to get out of here. I'm sure Tasha's got a concert that Matt's got to get to. I blame this on the fact that Dave Matthews is not performing this year. So you have to fill that void.
He's performing in September at the Bowl.
September 12th, I'll be there. Section E. Say hi.
Would you want us to try to get him on the podcast?
Fuck yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. I mean, you're the ones that have an answer for your bullshit.
That's true.
I'd have to go, hey, I'm a big fan, thanks.
That's true. And you know what would be really interesting about that?
What?
Bye.
What would be interesting about that?
But here's what scares me about that.
Yeah.
Let's say he says yes.
Yeah, sure.
How do I, you know, because personally, I don't have anything personally against Dave Matthews. I just have always enjoyed making fun of you because you're obsessed with them.
Yeah. I mean, obsession is a strong word.
You've been to 42 shows or something like that.
People have been to a lot more. Mark Coleman's been to 84 Fish shows.
That's a problem.
He's been to three in the past like week.
Since this podcast started.
He started a really cool Tumblr blog. Did I tell you about it?
Yeah,
no.
Concert tickets.
It's all his concert ticket stubs.
Oh, that's genius.
And so it's like his Tumblr. It's just every day. I think it's like stub a day or something like that. And it's just like he just scans like, so you're looking at like Eddie Murphy, Raw Tour,
Steve Ray Vaughan, Double Trouble in 87.
Bart Cohen, friend of music and comedy, who works over at the Ferguson Show now, booking comedy talent, and worked at Comedy Central for years, and a genuinely good guy, good guitar player, also collects awesome guitars. Yes. Yep. I think he's a Texas. I think he might be an Austin guy.
He is.
And
he also worked on King of the Hill for a bit.
Yeah, and a huge supporter of great comedy. Fucking great guy. Really funny, too. I'd love to have Bart on.
Yeah, it's because like he's had an interesting life, and he's a good guy, and like he's got a lot to say about a bunch of stuff.
But going back to the Dave Matthews thing, I feel like I would be a dishonest person if I didn't admit to him in some capacity, like, you know, we've been teasing Matt for years about his obsession with you.
Yeah, I think that's just how you do it. That's fine.
Oh, was that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I start going,
if someone could please go back to every episode and just pull every moment that we've ever said anything about him, and then we'll play that for him.
Supercut.
What are you doing?
Supercut, and just like, and then after we're done, he's like, so we cool?
I'm really sorry. We have to. It is our way. We must make retribution.
No, it'd be great to have on. And their album comes out on the 11th. Yeah. So I think that they'd probably be down to promote it.
What happens if we have him on and he's fucking amazing? By the way, it's probably he'll probably never come on.
I've seen interviews of him, and I think he's like, and his probably, movie. What Adam Sandler movie was he in? That he's really funny.
Been in a few. He was with the Zohan.
Yeah, in Zohan, and he was really really funny. He was playing like the Southern guy, right?
Yeah, and he was in that one with Jennifer Aniston, that one on an island with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler.
Just go with it.
Yeah.
No, but like he's a really funny guy. Also, I saw like a clip of him once, where he's like, it was like a concert where he's like, someone just told me this is the face I make when I sing. He's all, no one ever told me this. I would have changed a lot.
So what's gonna happen is it's sort of like, and he's gonna be a really great guy, and then we're gonna fall in love with him, and then we're gonna start following him around all over the place,
like with Blink 182 and you.
Like what?
Like with Blink 182 and you.
It's just like with Blink.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't follow the Dave Matthews Band around, but when they come to me, I'm there.
Interesting. So they've come to you 42 times.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
They tour a lot. They did tour a lot. Northeast, you know, I'd go as far as Connecticut.
Okay. So they sort of came to you. They just came to your region.
Within anywhere where there's a hacky sack in sight, they will be there.
Did you say Frolf?
Wherever there's a bunch of young stoner kids looking to have a parking lot party and make hot dogs in the back of a station wagon right before a freeform jazz experience.
It's not a freeform jazz.
They'll be there.
It's whenever the faint smell of Nag Champa's in the air, he'll be there too.
And a cheap IKEA Persian rug gets rolled out, and someone with Birkenstocks and smelly feet sits Indian style. They'll be there.
Yeah. No, we should have him on. That'd be great.
Whenever yoga needs to seem hip and cool, they'll be there. They'll be there.
All right.
Good.
We covered a lot.
We got it. Good episode, guys.
If we hadn't brought up Dave Matthews, it wouldn't have been a microcosm.
That's true. So we were really just acting within the context of what all the things that we
talked
about.
Well done.
Oh, I also said Matt Myra, ladies and gentlemen. If there's anything we missed, please let us know in the comments section.
Yeah, if we missed some sort of thing that you like us doing.
You know, we really missed one.
Just add it to littlenerdistthings.tumblr.com.
We missed one really important thing.
What was that?
Oh.
Enjoy your burritos.
Yeah, we also missed Clemens.
Fuck.
Well, I mean, that's not part of our friendship.
Okay, one Clement, just to fucking round this out. Yeah, it's a question. It's a comment. And more questions and more comments and more
first tweet. I got one. Dane Michael Down asked Nerdist Matt Myra and Jonah Ray, what does it mean when you say tags in reference to writing stand-up?
Extra joke. Extra jokes.
Extra joke on top of a bit.
Yep, extra joke on top of a bit. So five little follow-up jokes that pertain to the main bit. So just for a quick demonstration, here's how tags work. Building off the earlier Axl Rose fat jokes, Jonah, go!
Axl Rose has got an appetite for destruction and pancakes.
Good, you, Matt.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door, because I heard they have ice cream.
Nothing lasts forever, except for this never-ending pasta bowl. Tags! Enjoy your burrito, everyone!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial, go to squarespace.com/nerdist and use the offer code NERDIST8.